Well, good to have you here tonight. I started this message last Wednesday night, living with an awareness of the unseen realm. And you can see my little tagline there, that there are two realms that influence human behavior. We talked about that last week. Christians have access through the Holy Spirit to see and hear in the realm of the Spirit in order to join God in what He is doing in the earth. And we're going to get into that part tonight. For those of you who may not have been here, I will give you some scripture references. John 3:3, we started there last week, where Jesus said, until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. There are two realms. There's an earthly realm. There's a heavenly realm. There's a realm of darkness, realm of light. There is the realm of the spirit and the realm of the material or the natural. There is that line of demarcation between the seen and the unseen, and we believers, we've experienced the new birth, and and at that moment we receive the onboard equipment, if you will, to be able to gain understanding and awareness that in the realm we can't see, a lot of things are happening. I don't know if we could turn the lights down just a little bit. I can't hardly see any of you tonight, but just a little bit, and maybe the house lights up just a tad. Thank you. And I shared with you a story last week in my Baptist days when I was doing a service with one of my seminary buddies, and he and I both saw a ball of light just come down one side of the aisle, and we didn't even know how to talk about that, but we did get around to talking about it after the service, and we were kind of really moved into some deep ponderings about that. And of course, since that time, I've come a lot more aware of the activity in the realm of the spirit. Most people believe in the spirit realm. Now, there are some people that are would be more purely atheistic or you know, really agnostic, just not sure. But most lost people believe there's a spirit realm. And most people don't have any difficulty believing there's a realm where devils and demons and violent and deeply wicked activity takes place. I mean, there's a lot of that manifesting into the material world, right? So most you can just drive by any local theater, and if they have, you know, 6 or 8 theaters, probably half of those movies are going to deal with something supernatural or paranormal. So our difficulty, even in our nation, is not that there is just a disbelief or an unbelief about spiritual things. It's just that people don't fully understand or have been turned off by religious ideas, don't understand the significance of who Jesus Christ is. He came from that other realm into this realm. God became a man with the express purpose that we might have life and have it abundantly, having overflowing life, to live life the way man was intended to live it. So it's an awesome, awesome thing the gospel is, the power of the cross, as Pastor Doc just mentioned. I love how he said it, that we give him and our nothing and we get his everything. And when people really understand that, it's just a short step into the kingdom, into the family. And so that's our charge as believers, as the church, is to carry that message to the world and represent Jesus well. We do not want to be branded as a religious group of people who is just about academic or intellectual attainment or knowledge. We believe in the supernatural. That's one of our core values in our culture, that what you read about in the Bible, that is available in your life. It's not just a new version of Greek mythology where people are trying to explain how things are by all this the mythical interaction in this other world. No, all of those are man's ways of trying to describe the fact that he knows there's a spirit realm. And there's a lot of deception. But the Scriptures is our guidebook. I mentioned this Sunday. It's our blueprint. And certainly when it comes to living with an awareness of the spirit realm. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. And there we learned that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him because they are spiritually discerned. The reason, if something is spiritually discerned, that means there is an ability to divide, to judge, to discriminate between spirits. Some are good, some are bad. In the unseen realm, there's good and evil operating. Just like in the seen realm, there's good and evil operating. But see, we believe that the Scripture teaches that the real realm, the realm that lasts, is the realm you can't see. I know when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and my study of the Word just went, or my understanding of the Word went to a whole new level when I became fully open to the supernatural and constantly aware of the supernatural. You just see more, you hear more, you experience more. But in the realm of the Spirit, we have to have discernment. And the natural man doesn't have the capacity for that discernment. That's the reason they'll fill the theaters and tank up on the Purge and the Paranormal 1, 2, 3, the whole series of stuff. And I'm not fearful of what the devil does per se, but I don't watch those kind of movies. It's just because I've had too much interaction with the reality of those things, you know. And I might watch a good Western shoot 'em up, and go get them, guys, you know. But the paranormal, the supernatural, a lot of from the days when I did watch those movies, particularly my teenage years. I will attest that a lot of the things you see actually can and do happen. And some people are drawn into that by the fascination of that idea. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's a pretty easy choice to make if you think about it. The enemy has no power over you, believer, except through your willful disobedience are through deception. And he's a master of deception. Paul even says that Satan can appear as an angel of light. And a lot of that happens, and I would say, and I'm in a sidebar here, but I'm just want to talk about it a moment. Particularly in the New Age, what we call New Age movement, and a lot of the area of what, there's really no such thing as white witchcraft, Wicca, and that kind of stuff. But the people that are in that would interpret it that way. You know, well, we're using this for good means. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So it's important that we have spiritual discernment. We can have spiritual discernment because we've been born again. We are not mere natural men and women anymore. We are supernatural sons and daughters of God. And so we also talked about 2 Corinthians 5:6. We walk by faith, not by sight, that we operate in the realm of the unseen by faith. Always going to require some faith, no matter how many times you step in there, whether you're ministering prophetically or ministering in the area of deliverance or anything to do with our Christian life, it requires faith. It pleases God when we live by faith, and he's not pleased when we don't live by faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says it's impossible to please him without faith. In other words, we have to be more governed by what we do not see than what we actually do see. We're seeing by faith. And how can you do that if you don't have an awareness of the unseen realm? You can't walk by faith and not by sight if you don't have an awareness that there is an unseen realm of activity that's taking place where You can be led by the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the constant renewal of the inner man last week. And I shared with you how we can be renewed day by day. And we got to the John 5. I'm going to start there again tonight. The kingdom of God operates in the spiritual realm. And as Christians, we live in the realm of the operation of the Holy Spirit. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. As you've heard me say many, many times, the evidence of our identity is our obedience to follow the Holy Spirit. We manifest our sonship when we follow the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul said. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And evidence of our sonship is we are led by the Spirit. This sets us apart from the world that are led by the spirit of the world, the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air. The things that are seen the enemy uses to deceive us and destroy us, that's even governed in the unseen realm by the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. That's where our true frontline warfare is. So that doesn't mean the enemy cannot work through people or use people. That doesn't mean that there's not people that are not wicked, because there are. Some people are oppressed. Some are would be fully possessed. I personally believe there's different levels of demonization that can occur in a person's life. And I also believe that even believers, we can come under the influence of demons. If we're not living by faith and we're walking by sight and we're being led by flesh, then that's not the Holy Spirit leading us. Then who is? In John chapter 5, this is a foundational for what we're going to study tonight. Jesus tells us how he lived his life in a very succinct statement. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son," speaking of his identity as God's Son, the Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God, "the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do." This is a statement of absolute, full, and total submission and surrender to his Father in obedience to the Spirit of God. And that causes a bunch of questions to fire in your minds. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the communion, ununion of the Holy Trinity. But Jesus is saying here that in his incarnation and becoming a man, and Paul teaches us this in Philippians chapter 2. Theologians call it the kenosis passage, because the Greek word is that he emptied himself. It's the word kenosis. He was fully God, fully man. But the life he lived here on earth, he lived as a man full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, in complete surrender and submission to his Father. There were attributes he did not call upon or rely upon in his humanity that were rightfully his and eternally his. But he became a man through the incarnation. There's a point of time that the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, became a human being. And even now, in the throne room of God, he lives there in a glorified, resurrected body that he did not inhabit until the incarnation. And that opens up a lot of thoughts, but that's the way it is. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Even prior to his ascension, he said, "Thomas, look at these scars." His body that died on the cross, that body was resurrected, glorified, and he dwells in that resurrected, glorified body suited for eternal living. And we'll see him in that body upon his return. And we will be given a body like his. Because John says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul described it as, if we're those who are alive when he returns, our bodies will, I see it like, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die. And then at the return of Jesus, there will be a resurrection. But for those who are living, it will be like death, burial, resurrection, boom, in an instant. They'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll all be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where he goes, we're going to be there. And there's going to be a lot of activity around that event. Then ultimately, beyond that, new heaven, new earth, and we will have our eternal, glorified, resurrected suits, if you will, that we will inhabit. And so, and I know I'm throwing, challenging to just think through some things. Some of these things we can think through till Jesus comes back and still be scratching our head. I understand that. But I like to go back to, okay, does that mean that the body we then have, will it be like the body Adam and Eve originally had before they sinned? It's like Jesus, if it's appointed unto man wants to die, because we've sinned, the penalty of sin is death. Jesus did not die because of his sin. But he received our sins into his body. In a moment of time, God reached in back to the dawn of creation and all the way to the end before the consummation of the ages. And all the sin that would be committed, Jesus, for lack of a better way to say it, as a sponge would absorb water, Jesus absorbed our sin. I preached on this a year or so ago about how he became sin. And that brought death. When he died, we died. When he was raised, we were raised. When we come into union with him, all of that he accomplished is appropriated to us. And we get the benefits of his death, the benefits of his resurrection, the benefits of his ascension. We're even living in at least a really good earnest or down payment of that now. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Right? Positionally, the Holy Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit is here, and positionally we have that awareness of the spirit realm because of this reconciliated relationship. But then, in a glorified body, as he is, we will continue, as we studied the other Sunday, and it still got me on a merry-go-round about that in the ages to come, that we would continue to become aware of the riches that are in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is the gift that just keeps on giving. The revelatory flow that just keeps on flowing. And that'll be a whole new level too, because Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face we'll know even as we are known. There'll be a whole new level of knowing, of knowledge, and movement, and so forth. So much we don't know, but we see little glimmerings, and you try to stitch them together, and because this is our life to come that I'm speaking of. This is not some idea that we're just hoping might be true. This is the reality of what awaits us. And so compared to this, Paul mentions that, compared to what is to come, this is all light stuff compared to what's come, the eternal weight of his glory. And we talked about that some last Wednesday night too. So let me, I told you last week I wanted to finish this, so I'm going to try to do that. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus, as he lived his life, whether in Jerusalem or in Galilee, all the places that he went, this tells us that did not hinder him or keep him from being able to see the activity of his Father. He's operating in the unseen realm. He was basically saying, what I see happening that my Father's doing, then I mirror that in the earth realm. I only do. He says exclusively, I only do what I see my Father doing. He was governed by what his Father was doing in the unseen realm. And there were times when those disciples and the followers of Jesus and sometimes the crowds at large were able to see the evidence of what Jesus was seeing. If he only did what he saw the Father doing, then the man at the pool of Bethesda, he saw Father saying, him, he's going to be healed today. And he stepped into that and he did it. And then the crowd at large saw a miracle. They saw one realm influencing another realm and doing something that was impossible in the earthly realm. This is the stuff we believe. This is the stuff the Bible teaches. This is how Jesus lived. So he only did what he saw the Father doing, so he could see. So let me give you a little list of five things. If we're going to operate in the kingdom in the spiritual realm, then we too must hear in the spiritual realm. I'm going to start there. We too must hear in the spiritual realm. And Jesus talked about what he heard the Father speaking. We have the ability to hear messages from the spiritual realm. Now, very often those will manifest. Of course, we receive that through our body. Our spirit dwells in this earthly temple. And through our spirit, as believers, we learn to adjust our senses to the spiritual part of us. Some of the spiritual gifts even operate in tandem with your physical senses. Sometimes, and this happens to me many times, I will feel something going on in my body. And at first, you know, it's like, well, what is this? But I've just learned by experience that when that's happening, I know that's not for me. And so sometimes for instance, you may be talking to somebody. If the Holy Spirit were to manifest to you in this way, this would be considered like a word of knowledge. In other words, the ability to know something. Sometimes you might hear a word in your hearing. Sometimes you may see a picture. Can you imagine a green monkey riding a pink bicycle across this altar right now? You just saw it, didn't you? That's the part of you that the Holy Spirit also works through. Your imagination. The ability to see something that does not exist as if it did exist. And we learn that in the spirit realm, when the Lord shows you something that way, that you can step into it. And that often will birth it into the seen realm. Like somebody's healed or somebody is encouraged or someone is blessed, but we have the ability to hear in the spiritual realm. I think it was the year 2000, I was preaching at a conference at the Advocate. That's where Kingsway is now, in Jason Hooper in Birmingham. But Bill French started that, the Advocate Center, and he was my mentor. In those early days, as a Baptist pastor, when I'd go to Birmingham and visit the hospitals, I would time it to be able to go by his Tuesday Bible study or go by and just spend some time with him. And I was like a sponge just soaking it because it was all so new to me. But I had been invited down there to preach a conference, and there was a lady there that was a prophetess. And after I got through preaching, she came up to me. She gave me this word, how the Lord's about to open up the nations to you. You're going to be going to Africa. And she named several different places I was going to go. I think Africa, you're going to go to Ukraine. And then she gave me a warning about not going to a certain direction. And it was like a month later, I got an invitation to go to Kenya, Africa. And it was provided for me, and to go and preach, and to go with another, actually it was Bill French himself, and the Lord just opened that door. And then I had the opportunity to go to Ukraine. There's a series of supernatural things that happened to make that possible. And the direction I was told not to go, I ended up a year or so later going, and I almost didn't come back because of the trouble that was brewing where I went. And that's when I put that together. Oh, that's what that meant. You know, so the Lord's gracious. But we can hear, and many of you have gotten words from the Lord. I would just encourage you to be open to that. Don't be too hard on yourself. Give your permission to learn, to grow. It's just like our children, when the little ones get old enough to start saying, Dada, Mama. Oh my goodness, no sermon could ever top that, right? I mean, nothing anybody, that, I mean, because you're just so excited, your little one is hearing and speaking and communicating. And I believe that's Father's heart toward us when we become open to like, well, I'm going to give it a go. Lord, I think you're saying this. Step out there, you know. I know there's a fear of getting it wrong. I personally believe there is a difference between a false prophecy and a wrong prophecy. How much would the Lord accomplish through the church if he decided he was going to work only through perfect people? You know, the fact that he uses any of us is evidence that he works through imperfection. So be a little easy on yourself and just have a childlike heart to learn and grow. And we have a pretty permissive culture here. You know, we want you to go for it. We want you to learn. We want you to grow. So to be like Jesus, we want to hear in the Spirit. Also, we need to learn to think in the spiritual realm. Think in the spiritual realm. Now, it can be truthfully said that sometimes we charismatic, empowered evangelicals or third wave people or whatever you want to classify us as, Pentecostals. Sometimes we can go a little overboard and we can make anything prophetic. But a lot of times it is, right? But seriously, I know there is that out there. But also seriously, a lot of times things are prophetic. I do believe God's speaking more than we may realize. Now, I don't believe that every word that every person gets is for everybody. I mean, if I read everything that came on the Elijah list and acted on it, I'd never get around to studying for a message or anything like that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have an open ear. And at times the Lord speak to us of those things. I'm not invalidating that. I hope you understand that. I think sometimes we may have a word that's just for Grace House. Sometimes there may be a word that's just for you. Sometimes it may be a word for the nation, for the body of Christ. And that can vary, but we don't want to despise prophesying. We're taught that. Paul says, don't despise prophecies. And that means to have like, a red X attitude toward anything prophetic, or to minimize the fact that someone's wanting to move in the prophetic. We need to be open to that. But as we've also seen, discerning, right? Discerning. Just because someone says it's a word from God, that doesn't mean it is. Someone may have a word from God, but it may not be a word from God for you. And that's and I always like to bring this up when I'm teaching on this, even in my, when I'm traveling and so forth. We need to have a healthy honor and respect for the Holy Spirit's role in our brothers and sisters' life. You never want to use your spiritual gifting or the prophetic to like drive somebody in the corner and make them think like they've got to obey you because you've heard from God. A believer has the Holy Spirit living within them. And I think there's a place to say, I sense the Lord's given me this for you. You pray for it and see if it bears witness with you. Neither do I think it's our role to make sure a prophetic word's fulfilled in somebody else's life. Have you ever had somebody try to do that? You know, again, that's where you've hit the ball across the net. You've been faithful. You've pitched the ball or hit the ball that the Lord has thrown you to hit. But when it crosses the net, that person, they can receive it, they can reject it. Now you can pray that they'll receive it. You can continue to pray that word will be honored. Yes, yes, yes. But we don't want to get into manipulation, which can become witchcraft if we're not careful, and trying to superintend a word in someone else's life. Now, you may disagree with me on that, and that's fine. That's just my opinion on that. But I think the Holy Spirit is more than able to, just like He can give you a word, He can move on somebody's heart to receive that word. And you release that word, you're sowing that seed, He can watch over that word. Last time I read it, I think it, here's what it didn't say. And Eddie watches over God's word to perform it. No. It says He watches over His word to perform it. Sometimes people may be really trying to make a word come to pass because they are watching over their word. When you really feel, when you really know it's the Lord's word, then you also know He's going to watch over it to bring it about. Now, if He leads you to do some follow-up, I'm not saying don't be obedient if He does. Just don't assume the role. I got this from here, Holy Spirit. You know, we always want to honor the Holy Spirit. And I think we see Jesus modeling that. You know, there were times He let people walk away. The rich young ruler. I'm sure it saddened His heart. In the garden, God allowed Adam and Eve, here's a choice. This is yours. Stay away from that tree. He gave them the choice. Even in Isaiah's prophecy, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. He's reasonable. And I love that about Him. So we need to learn to speak in the spirit. I'll give you an example of thinking in the spiritual realm. When we bought the property that our new building is being built on, and we had a dedication service over there. You'll remember that. We set it up at the worship team. I cut part of my thumb off before we drove the stake. Not on purpose. They wasn't a ritual. It was a foolish mistake. But we received an offering on the property. Do you remember that? You remember what we did with it? We gave it away. Our first offering on our new property, we received. And we sent it to Oklahoma to Apostle Nigel Big Pun, because he's a chief among the Yuchi Native American tribe, which is the original indigenous Native American people that inhabited this land. So spiritually, what we were doing, we're saying the Yuchi people were here before we got here. Now, who they worship, what they worship, how they worship, that's between them and the Lord, okay? But the fact that they were here before we were, and we knew Nigel Big Pine. He's a Holy Ghost-filled man of God that God uses. Love him dearly. He's a wonderful brother. He has an apostolic training center. Where is it in Oakland? Charlotte, where do you... In Bixby, Oklahoma. And so he's doing that apostolic center of training there. So we viewed the fact that we want to honor the original people that lived on this land. One of their sons now has given his life to Jesus, the Messiah, and is investing his life in an apostolic training center. And so our offering is going to be sown into that to honor the people of the land, honor a son of the people of the land who's now serving the Lord Jesus Christ, because we believe in the spirit realm, honor's a big thing. Amen. Doing things correctly is a big thing. And I know, I'm about to get into a different subject. We need to think in the spiritual realm. Thirdly, see in the spiritual realm. We can see in the spiritual realm. I've already touched on this a little bit. Sometimes you may have an intrinsic picture. It's like you're not seeing it out through your physical eye, but you're seeing it in your inner eye, if you will, your imagination. You can see things. The Holy Spirit will project things in that part of your being, and you may see a word, you may see a little video clip of something, a lot of different things. You know how your imagination works. Well, the Holy Spirit can, and I'm not using biblical terms here, but He can plug into that and run His reel for you to see. Jesus was seeing the Father. He was. Sometimes you may be able to. There can be times when a person, you may or may not have had this happen to you, but it can happen to people where you see something with your physical eyes out in front of you, and you know that it's not a part of what everybody else is seeing, but it's beyond you, and you can see it. It's kind of like an external vision. Some visions are internal, some visions are external. So I'm just saying that we also have the capacity to see in the Spirit. I've had times when I have seen like angelic activity. I've had times when I've seen demonic activity. Not all the time, and it's not like, okay, I'm going to turn the switch on. No, this is governed by the Holy Spirit. Revelation is governed by Him. We can position ourselves. We can ask the Lord, and this is helpful for me, particularly a lot of times on Sunday. Lord, is there something you want me to see? Is there someone that you have a word for? Is there something you want me to feel? And just be consciously aware of that. Not trying to make anything happen, but just go back to worshiping. But you're making yourself available to be used of the Holy Spirit. And that's very helpful to do that. And no matter how many times you may do that, it's still going to require faith. And sometimes you may miss it. But go for it. This has been maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was going through a season, and I'd never had problems breathing before, but and this was way before COVID or anything, so it wasn't any of that. This was 3 or 4 years ago, but just having trouble getting my breath. And this had gone on a while in my preaching. I would notice it, that I just kind of like lose my capacity to have enough breath. And I know some Sunday I amaze you that I can be have as much breath and be long-winded. But seriously, it was bothering me, and we started praying about it. And one night, Mickey woke up, and occasionally she'll have something like this happen, but she woke up, and she saw floating over me, over my chest, like a spirograph. You know those, the wheel in a wheel things we do with pencils and spirograph. And this was just, it was just kind of moving like this right over my chest. I'm asleep. And she woke me up and we prayed. And the next morning she looked up, I think a spirograph. And she found out that it was a term that's like in the medical field that had to do with your breathing. we still don't fully comprehend exactly what was happening, but we believe it was the Lord, because after that night, when she woke up and saw that, and we prayed, I hadn't had any problems since with my breathing. And it had become something that was really bothering me. So, but that happened with her seeing something in the spirit realm. Now, the first time, if something like this happens for you, it may give you the heebie-jeebies, whatever that is. But you know what I'm saying. But there can be breakthroughs. You just described where the veil can become thin and you begin to see something that's happening in the realm of the spirit. It's been my experience that numbers and numbers and numbers of people have these kind of things that happen to them, but they're very hesitant to talk to anybody about it. Because usually with me, it's like, I think you might understand this. I want to ask you, and then they'll tell me their story, you know, and you hear some neat things. And sometimes, you know, like, well, I don't think that's the Lord, and here's what we need to do, or that sounds like the Lord's trying to say this to you. So, but that's just accepting as fact the unseen realm. And we should not live with unawareness of that. We should live with a full awareness of that. It's the way Jesus lived. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Not everything that takes place in the spirit realm is the Father. But this is a good thing about learning your identity and getting grounded in the scripture, is you know who your daddy is. So when he's talking to you, when he's showing you something, you learn to have confidence in that. So you see in the spirit realm. Another one is that you speak from the spiritual realm. This is just declaring and prophesying. The Lord may be forming a word in you. And things begin to stir, and you just release that word, a prophetic word. A lot more to it than that, but I'm out of time. Last thing, that we will be moved into action from the spirit realm. Again, going back to what Jesus said, he only did what he saw the Father doing. That indicated that the Father was instructing him, leading him, calling him to action, to do something. That was coming from the spirit realm. So he was responding to the instructions coming from the spirit realm, and he would incorporate that and step into action. Now, a couple of Sundays ago, if you'll remember in our worship service, Pastor Derek came up, and this was, and I'm just going to share how this all unfolded. When I was standing there earlier, about 2 minutes before he came over to me, I looked at him and I started to go over there and say, I think the Lord's wants you to pray or something. So I'm thinking about that. Then he starts coming to me. I just did this with a microphone because, I mean, I knew the Lord's about, and then he gets up and he was faithful to step into what the Lord gave him. People started coming up to pray, and Pastor Doc and I was praying for people. Well, the Lord moved on Pastor Doc. You remember he shared about the love. He said he only had it happen like 2 times in your life. He got up and he shared about that. People came up and he prayed over the people. After the service, one of our sweet ladies, and I won't share her name because that would be her testimony, but she came up to me afterwards. We were actually in the foyer before we left. She said, I want to tell you, said when we all came up there and Pastor Doc was praying, and she told about her physical condition she had been going through, she said something just went all over me and it just left. She said, I feel so good, it's gone. And God touched her. Now, if that's all that happened, that's awesome. But see, I believe that's probably multiplied a number of times over, because it was initiated from the realm of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't necessarily happen in every service. If it did, we would probably become too familiar, and we'd be wanting something that's different, you know. But that's probably not an accurate statement. That's probably not accurate. I I'm grateful that it does happen at times. And that our people are real good about that, being sensitive, you know. And we want to have that kind of culture where the Holy Spirit can move. And yet, this house really honors God's word. And we realize, you know, that it's through the foolishness of preaching. And like we've been studying, the saints are equipped and all of this. We want all of it. And sometimes that's not necessarily the tension, but there's a certain level of difficulty and just balancing it all and keeping it going and moving forward with it. But that's all right, too. You know, we don't have, quote, a formula. I don't really believe in that. Like, if you do A and B, you're always going to get C. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And that manifested in a lot of different ways. And that's what I like about our worship services. God will manifest in different ways. Sometimes off the stage, our worship team will get into place and you can just feel the waves of God's presence, just encouraging and refreshing. Sometimes somebody may have a prophetic word. Occasionally there may be a word in tongues that will be interpreted and so forth. So that's part of kingdom living. And that's just when we meet. And where most of the stuff is supposed to take place is, I believe it happens here in order to stir us up so we see God move it. But a lot of what's going on is God's wanting us to take what's happening here, learn from it and grow with it and go out there and release it. Because it works where you work, where you go to school, in your home, with your children, in your marriage. This is, we're called to live this way. Okay, I feel like I've been in a little bouncy house tonight, just jumping around different places, but I hope you grabbed hold of something coming your way there. And if you would stand with me, thanks for being here tonight. We'll meet back this week. Now, the week of Thanksgiving, we will not have a service during the week, that week. Want you to have your time for family and everything. Usually that's on Thursday. Sometimes we bumped it back and had a service earlier in the week. But this year, you just spend time with your family. Or if you don't have some of that going on Tuesday or Wednesday night, look around and invite three or four other people that might want to get together with you and have some hangout time and just some good fellowship. But thank you for coming on Wednesdays. Thank you for being here. We are here. Pastor Doc's always up here, and we've got others, Mike and Vicki and other leaders here, and Russell and Sandra are here. We've got staff here. We'll be happy to pray for any of you. You're probably not very far from somebody. I'd be happy to pray with you right now if you have a need. So, Father, thank you for our time here tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together like this. And Lord, help us to have a growing awareness of the unseen realm. Be led by your Holy Spirit to see your miracle working power. And thank you, Lord, that the best is always yet to come. So in the name of Jesus, go out and change the world. Amen. Still.